Good morning to all of you. I thank the Lord for the time that God has given to me as a family to come to Dallas and spend a few days with Jimmy, Stanley, and Cassie, and to share the joy what the Lord has given and blessed them with a baby girl. And we are happy in the Lord. And thank you all for your prayers for, as a family, that you could able to uphold them before the throne of grace. I thank the Lord and the assembly for giving this opportunity to come and stand before you or speak before you this morning for a short meditation from the Word of God.
Yeah, it's funny.
This morning, I would like to just to point a few things in regard to the glory of God. When we think about the glory of God, there are many things we have heard. We have heard a lot of messages and studies on the word, on the glory of God. When God created man, the man was covered with the glory of God. But soon that glory has departed from him. We know why it happened. We see that how things have changed, because of the disobedience of the sin that came in the life of men. And the glory has departed. And life went on, and men could able to come before God through the altar, through the sacrifice, and get in connection with him. That continued for a few years and centuries like that. And Lord has delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. And then he established a tabernacle in the midst of them. And he desired to dwell with them. And we see the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord was above the tabernacle that could able to lead and guide and provide all things accordingly what is needed unto them, making known the will of God, and also their sacrifice and offerings were a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. And the Lord was pleased with the glory that was in the tabernacle. And then we see that how the tabernacle came to non-existent. We see how people disobeyed due to the rebellion and to the disobedience, and the way in which they want their own way to go, as the other nations or the heathen be able to take away the ark of the Lord. And we read in 1 Samuel that how Ichabod, the glory of the Lord, left. When the ark of the covenant was taken away from the midst of the people of Israel, it was a great thing that how God punished the people of the heathen or the Philistines and the different nations that had the Ark of the Covenant. And later on, it was the will of the Father and God himself, as the desire of David, that he wants to have a temple built. And then God said he's not going to do it with him, but his son will do it. And so that the temple was built. And then we see when the temple was dedicated, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, that no one could able to stand. And everyone was amazed in the way that God has pleased. And that went on in spite of all the challenges the people of Israel had. God gave commandments, God gave the ordinances, God gave the rules and regulations for them to follow. But in spite of all those things they went through, and we see that finally, even the temple was destroyed and the glory of the Lord left. And then the dark ages came. Isn't it wonderful to think that as we are in the New Testament, that's what we talked about in the Old Testament, what happens in the New Testament? Where is the glory of God today? We know that the Lord Jesus Christ left his glory in heaven, and he came down to this earth as incarnated human being. And then he lived on this earth, died and rose again, and exalted to the heavens, and seated at the right hand of the Father, accomplishing and finishing all things. And where is the glory of the Lord in this time, in the New Testament time? For that very matter, I want to turn your attentions to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. At the end of chapter 3, we know that Paul has a prayer, and I want to concentrate or focus on verse 20 and 21. Verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to whom be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. As Paul continued to write this epistle, the first three chapters, we know, we have studied, many would have learned this, that he talks of the doctrine. At the end of the doctrine, he gives a doxology. And then we see after the prayer of Paul from verse 14 to 19, and the end it says, what a wonderful way to think about that. The glory of God, or to him be the glory in the church. I want to focus a few moments with this, with the short thoughts I want to leave to you, how this glory of God is in the church. Isn't it wonderful that where we see the glory of God in the church? Have you ever thought about that? How true it is that it's a reality in each and every one of us. For that matter, I want to think about that, how the Lord has saved you and me, as we were reminded in our ministry this morning, that we were born or regenerated and accepted into Christ as a child of God. And very well, we can able to remember the song that we always sing, that heaven came down and filled the glory in my soul. Isn't it wonderful to think about that, the day that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the enthusiasm, the way in which we have the zeal for the Lord that could able to be part of it. That is the glory of God that came in our life. The day that a believer believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his life is filled with the glory. He became a new creation. How is the new creation comes? We know that when God created man in the beginning, he created in the image, in the likeness of God himself. And the glory was in him. And we as a new creature, all new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, he created us in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are reminded in the ministry that we have to mature, we have to transform into the likeness of Christ, isn't it? And as we come to this thought that how the glory of Christ is in the church, we know in the scripture we read, each individual is a temple of God. We are reminded, know ye not, ye are the temple of the living God. God desires to dwell in his glory, in the temple. For that matter, wherever we are as an individual, we are the temple of God, and God's glory is in you. That's why I said, when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God fills your heart, your life, and the blessings, the goodness, the majesty, the might, and the magnificence of all things of the God has come in the fullness in you. And for the very purpose, God is helping us through the Holy Spirit, making us to realize and understand. Unlike the Old Testament, it is true that when they sinned, when they were depart from God, God's glory has left them. But we are a privileged people. We are a blessed people. God's redemption and salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is made possible on the cross of Calvary, made us to be access to come to him anytime, no matter what it is. There are shortcomings, there are failures, there are sins in our lives. We have to overcome. And as he says in John's epistle, we see that confess that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses our sins from all unrighteousness. He has brought us into righteousness that we could be able to walk in the newness of life. And as I said, that we, each individual, are the temple of God. And God's glory is dwelling in each one of you, each one of us, that we could be able to representing the very image which God has created you and me in the newness of life, in the new creation. And we as a believers gather together in the church. Then where comes the local church, that we are able to good in understanding that how we are made it possible to give the glory to God. The same representation as an individual is come as a collective when we are gathered together to give glory to God. When we say that, how wonderfully Paul reminds us this in verse 20, now to him who is able to exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask. See that help that comes from God? For what? It is very sure that we cannot do anything of our own. It is very sure that each and everyone cannot do anything of our own ability, our own skills, our own understanding. But it is the Lord who is maker and helper. So the Holy Spirit that he gives to us, that we could able to, that we see that according to the power that works in us, you see the power that God gives to us. That power, no man can able to create it or make it. It is God who gives, unless we are available for that power to be used in us, that to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to think about how the Lord has made it possible for us? As we think about this in John's Gospel, chapter 17, when the Lord Jesus Christ made this high priestly prayer, he prayed this prayer we can able to see in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished. You see, the work of Christ on the cross was a glorifying effect, and that brought glory to God himself. And Jesus saying, Lord, I finished it. This is before the cross he's praying. That means he already accomplished it. And when he accomplishing it on the cross, taking the burden and sin of the whole humanity, when the heaven shut down, when the 3 hours of darkness came on, there that the judgment of Christ, of God came, the wrath of God came on him. But yet, Christ was glorifying God through that suffering and through that death. Isn't it wonderful that how the Lord has made this redemption possible for you and me? Amazing and wonderful to think about that. And how this God who gave the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ when we bent back and he said, give the glory which I had before. And we come down to verses 8 to 10. How this has been handed over to us, this glory. And verse 8 to 10. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine. I have been glorified in them. You see how wonderful it is? The Lord Jesus Christ is glorified in each and every one of us who have accepted the word of God. That is the salvation. That is the gospel. That is the redemptive work which we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is done on the cross of Calvary, that we could be able to be part of it. And he has glorified his name or his wonderful way that we could be able to understand and know it. Isn't it wonderful for us to understand the word of God, which is in you, is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As an individual temple of God, we are having this word of God and the Holy Spirit in us to give glory to him. And when we come collectively with those word of God, we encourage one another. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and we remember the Lord, and also we honor the Lord and give glory to him through the word of God, which the Lord has given to us in every way. Very shortly, I want to just mention five things in regard to the glory, how it is prevalent and we can able made it possible in the church, as we can able to see. The glory of God, which is unto him, God be the glory in the church throughout all ages. What is his glory? And the New Testament, as I said before, this is a doxology, as Paul brings it. Glory is that you're telling something high of. You're telling with all the phrases and words which can explain and express and expound in all his means and measures, that we can able to understand who our God is and give him the glory through the words which the Lord has given unto us. The first thing I want to mention is the glory is the, talks about the beauty and the symmetry impressiveness. In the temple or in the church, God brings the beauty and the glory and desires in that, that wonderfully the Lord can able to do so. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5, we read, as Solomon built the temple, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5, and David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all lands. Therefore, I will make preparation for it. Here's the desire of David. His son is young and is inexperienced. He has to know the Lord more, but he's praying that how the temple should be. It should be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious. Isn't it wonderful that God desires the same thing as an individual temple and a temple or a church as we collectively together? In Peter's, we read that he has chosen us as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What an elevation God has given to us, that we could able to have this access, the boldness, the courage to come into the very veil, the very presence of God, to behold the beauty, the glory, the majesty, the might, and the power and dominion of the Lord Almighty, who is seated on the throne, where the lot of people in the Old Testament could not have the access. They desired to see, but we in the Spirit of the Lord, as he has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, that we could able to understand the depth and the knowledge that we, God has enlightened in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts, in various measures and means. Everyone may not be equal, but as the Lord can able to inspire us, influence us through a song, through a scripture, through a verse, through a word, through an incident, through a circumstance, through a situation, through others, we are being influenced. We are being made giving glory, made that we could able to give glory to God, that we are to stand. The God has the, built the beauty in each one of us, and also we gather together, and that beauty is being made known as throughout the assembly, not the external beauty, but the beauty within us, that we may able to grow in the understanding and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that could able to bring. Secondly, the glory of God in the church is talks about the dominion and the power of the Almighty God. How it is that we can able to see how the Lord is powerful, as we read in Psalms 19, verse 1, we read that the heavens declare the glory of God. Isn't it wonderful that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, we read that how Satan took Jesus for during the temptation. That we see that how he's shown the whole glory of the whole world. You fall in worship, I will give it to you. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 29, we see that Solomon in all his glory, in all his grandeur and might and majesty, is arrayed with like one of these lilies. God's creation has wonderfully, magnificently gives and shows the glory of the Almighty God. When we come to the end in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, we can able to see how 21 verse 24, we see that into that beautiful city, the kings of the earth shall bring their honor and glory. God desires and he loves this wonderful and marvelous way in which he could able to experience this glory, what through us that God could able to give. And we could able to make known that this glory, what the Lord has given. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 37, we see, grant unto us that one of us may be on your right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. That's the request of James and John. Man desires the glory, and God has given the glory in you and me. In all its simplicity, in all his humility, that we could be able to express and reveal that glory which the Lord has given to us. Through our attitude, through our actions, through our words, through our dealings in all. And also God's glory is being, as we heard in the ministry, that the hope the Lord has given to us in circumstances where he leads and guides, that we could be able to understand. Thirdly, the word glory refers to the essential nature and the character of God. He is the express image of glory. We know very well that in Exodus, Moses wants desire to see the glory of God. And a great deal was there that he desired in chapter 33, Exodus, verse 18 to 23, as we see that he was left on the cleft of the rock and God's glory could pass by. That could able to be known that when he came down from the mount, his face was shining like bright sunlight. See the glory. When we encounter, when we continue to have this fellowship with God Almighty, the glory of the Lord will be able to be seen through our face or through our life, that could be able to give all majesty and glory and might in all his means and measures that we can able to see. When in Psalms 106, we can able to see verse 19 and 20, when they made the calf, there it says that they have exchanged the glory of God, their glory, into this similitude of an ox that eateth grass. And we see on the next verse, we can able to see that how they have forgotten, in verse 21, they've forgotten God, their Savior. My dear believers, this is what happens. The glory had left in the Old Testament. God has given this reminder. As we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, even this morning through the emblems, reminding us day by day and every week and every moment that we could not forget what the Lord has done to us, that in all his means and measures that we could able to give glory and honor, that could able to giving all things unto him. The glory of God in the church, it talks about the brightness and the effluences of God, the garment of God. He is always clothed with the glory, the light. As we read in the scripture, the God who dwelleth in an approachable light. No one can able to. That's why Moses could not see the glory of God in all his means and ways. But yet, this God has revealed his glory to you and me in this time of grace. That we could able to be partakers of this glorious gospel and the word and the truth. What the Lord has given to us. In 2 Corinthians, as Paul mentions here, that glory will be a part of you and me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, of the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. What the Old Testament people had, Christ removed that veil, that we could able to behold that glory, and we could able to have that glory, that God could able to give that in our life. In verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. How true it is that God is giving this opportunity, that we could able to understand and know the purposes and the goodness. One important verse I want to mention, the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It's very important how Paul reminds us this. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. My dear believers, as Paul has said in Ephesians chapter 1, how important is the word of God. And here we see that was shown in our hearts the light, to give the light of knowledge of the glory. We have to understand and know this God who has made it all possible for us, and to give all praise and worship unto him. And finally, want to finish off this one. The glory of God in the church is through the praise and thanksgiving. How wonderful it is. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, we see how the angels came and worshiped and gave glory to the Lord in all his means and ways, that they could be able to understand, they could be able to rejoice in giving glory and proclaiming how the Lord has done this wonderful and marvelous things. Isn't it that how the Lord is good in our lives also? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 15 to 18, we know about this Samaritan who came back to the Lord being a stranger. He come to the Lord giving glory to God, praises and thanksgiving, after the God has done what the Lord has done to in his life. And we, in our personal life, as an individual, is our responsibility, and it is the glory of God, glory of Christ, that we give our praise and thanksgiving in all circumstances. As Paul says, in everything, give thanks to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks to the Lord. May God help our hearts even this morning as we come together in worship and in praise as a church. We are giving glory to God. Our worship, as an individual, we could able to come and present before the Lord. He desired that. He is taking this as a sweet-smelling savor for his own glory, for his own majesty, until the day when the Lord Jesus is going to come again in glory, taking us back into his glorious, transform us into his glorious body. And till then, God has given this privilege and opportunity for us to be able to enjoy what the Lord has given to us and giving glory in all his means and measures. May the Lord's name be glorified. May God help us in the days to come to give glory to God in all his means and measures, to glorify and honor this God. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you for this morning, as into the afternoon, that we could be able to think about you. What a wonderful privilege you have granted to us. What a wonderful way that we could be able to understand and know how you have left the glory and came to redeem us and save us. But yet, Lord, along with that, you are given your word, your life, and your glory, that we could be able to be part of this. Lord, as you're preparing us for the coming of yours, that our life will continue to be exemplary, honoring to you. And Lord, that our life will be holy and perfect before thee. And cleanse us, Lord, through thy word and through thy spirit, that we may be able to yield ourselves, committing ourselves unto all obedience. Lord, giving us into the obedience will bring glory to you. Every bit of rebellion, disobedience, and distancing ourselves from the reality of the truth, O God, that you will put away. In our inner man, we may be able to grow and to know the Lord that could be able to bring glory to you. Father, help us that to the intimacy that we may have with you will continue to be stronger, and that could able to make us to transform into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we bless you and thank you for the time. We come in all the saints, and we love you, Lord, for thy grace and goodness and your blessings upon them as they continue to serve you and live for you. May your spirit will strengthen them in giving all thanks to the glory of God. We offer praise and thanksgiving, offering in the blessed name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.